requested a king. The Jews demanded a king in 1 Samuel, and God was angry with them, and he gave them Saul, and that was a disaster. And so they say, see, God condemned a monarchy, a king, as a form of government. But that's really historical revisionism. That's not true. I mean, their conclusion is not true. When Samuel was a prophet in Israel, the Jews sinned by requesting a king prematurely. God had a plan in the next generation to give them a king. That was God's plan. And today, Christians wrongly assume that God had never planned a monarchy for Israel, that a monarchy somehow was bad or sinful or something or wicked. And they think that God established Israel's kingdom only because the Jews sinned by demanding a king. Now, how did we Christians get to that mindset, which is very common? It's because our founding fathers, when they were fighting America's War of Independence, they misinterpreted the Bible, misused it a bit, to oppose the monarchy in England. They should have just said, we're a new nation, we have the right of our own independence, and we're fighting against Britain to get it. But instead, they went further, and they put out a false understanding of the Bible, which has lasted now for over 200 years, that God in the Bible was against monarchy. But that's just flat out not the case. As we saw on the show last night, God said, when you get into your land, then the king that you're going to have, he has to be the king that I choose, and the king has to obey all these laws in Deuteronomy 17. God had planned to establish a monarchy in the Old Testament, and that the throne in Jerusalem would be inherited by the Messiah. So Israel sinned in that they demanded a king one generation before God was prepared to give them one, and God eventually did through David with his throne in Jerusalem. And so, but a generation earlier in the days of Saul, they demanded a king, and God said, you want a king? I'll give you a king. And it was a disaster. But in Psalm 93, we read that God's throne is established from old. And in Psalm 10, the Lord is king forever. And in Revelation 19, Jesus is king of kings. And God presents the Messiah as a monarch, as a king, not as an afterthought, not as a concession to a wayward generation of Jews, but rather God had planned all along to establish a Davidic-type throne in Jerusalem, which the Messiah would inherit as Israel's eternal king. So it's incorrect. It was wrong of our founding fathers to say God was against the king, because look in this one verse here, in 1 Samuel chapter 8, God warned them and said, oh, you're demanding a king? All right, I'll give you a king. Yeah, but centuries earlier, God said, when you get into the land, you're going to want a king. Make sure you use the king that I choose, and he has to obey the law and write his own copy of the Bible and read from it and obey it. And God said that he would set up upon the throne of David the Messiah, whose kingdom would be forever. Does that sound like the kingdom was an afterthought? The government will be upon the throne of David, we read in Isaiah chapter 9. Matthew begins his gospel with the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, King David. And God will give him the kingdom of his father David. So God had always planned to establish a monarchy in Israel. And is it significant that Christians are confused today and think that God was against monarchy? It's significant. Why? Well, that's for another time. But let's correct that. God likes monarchy. And now stay tuned for Bob and Yurt Live. to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYART. I'll say it a little slower for public school teachers. 1-800-836-9278. Some of the news we'd like to cover today on this program. 40 years ago, President Lyndon B. Johnson, 40 years ago today, announced America's war on poverty. How are we doing? And what is the Christian perspective on economics? How should economics work? The economy, how should it work? What's right? What's wrong? A war on poverty? Lyndon Johnson said, we won't stop until we obliterate the poverty so there's no more poor among us. Jesus Christ said, the poor you shall always have among you. So who was right? Soviet Union said, we're going to get rid of poverty. We're going to have 100% employment. Everyone will have a home, a job, income, health care. And they obliterate. You know what they obliterated? They wiped out prosperity. The whole nation became poor. Everybody. So socialism is when you pass. Please pass the poverty. Pass the poverty, please. Can we all be miserable together, please? That's socialism and communism. So we want to talk about that and what the Bible would teach us. What are the biblical principles about economics? And then in our O'Reilly O'Reilly segment tonight, Bill O'Reilly on Fox News had an interview today. He was discussing with a guest the rappers, that's what they call them. If you sing rap, I don't know if they say sing rap, if you rap. And some leading rappers who have gone platinum, selling million records and all, millions, they're now producing hardcore pornography. I guess starring in it. I don't know. And his guest was defending these rappers whose primary audience is young men and children. Children, teenagers, and young men. And so when these rappers now are producing hardcore pornography on DVDs, sell them over the internet, of course, children are going to want to see them. And so O'Reilly O'Reilly, he said to his guest who's defending this, he said concerning the rappers like Snoop Doggy Dogg or whoever, whatever wacko name, whoever they have, whatever they have. He said, you know they're all going to hell, don't you? Which half his audience fell off their chairs. And then he said immediately, he said, just kidding. But, you know, that was the closest to absolute truth Bill O'Reilly has ever come in the history of his career on the air. They are going to hell. You know, they're going to hell, don't you? I got to talk to one of the rappers. What was his name? He had gone platinum. And I've been on TV shows with two rappers. One with the curly Qs coming out of his head from years ago. Coolio. And the other one, Cisco. And Cisco was on Coolio. I was on a show in New York, Fox News Channel. But Cisco was on Politically Incorrect on ABC out in L.A. with Bill Maher. And during the show, I took out lyrics from my pocket of some of Cisco's songs. And I was beginning to read them, and he began to slither down in his chair like he was a snake looking for a hole to crawl into, because it talked about the most despicable things, like raping your aunt, your sister, leaving them in the gutter, blankety-blank, and this and that. Just so despicable, it's unbelievable. And so we go to a commercial break, and Cisco's sitting right next to me. I said, Cisco, don't you know that there's a God? And he said, I wish this was on the air. But on the air, they don't actually let you talk and make points without four people interrupting the one conservative. So I said, Cisco, don't you know there is a God? He said, yeah, I think so. I said, don't you know that he's mad at you for doing this? And he said, yeah, probably. I said, then why are you doing it? I don't know. That's what he said. I don't know. Cisco, you better rethink this, because it's your eternal life that's at stake. Well, anyway, O'Reilly O'Reilly tonight on his program, the number one news cable show in the country, said that the rappers who are now producing hardcore porn, he said, you know, they're all going to hell, don't you? The single most truthful statement he's ever made on his show. All right, and then there's the murderer from Georgia, Jerry Jones, who is now in custody. He murdered three adults and a 10-month-old baby. Is that how? Is that the tragedy of his crime? And then he was found in Tennessee, and he shot himself. And so he's in critical condition. And whether he lives or dies, he will be awaiting trial for these murders. Whether he lives or dies, either way, it doesn't matter. If he dies, he'll be tried solely in heaven on Judgment Day. And if he lives, he'll probably be tried here and then there. Let's see. What else do we have? Before we get to the economics, by the way, our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART. And slower for some of the government employees in the audience, 1-800-836-9278. You know, saying that, before Howard Dean, who's once the Democratic nominee for president, he's one of the Jacksonless Five or whoever, however many Democrats are trying to run for president on their party's ticket. He used to be quite often on a PBS TV show called The Editors, and he said something bizarre about Hamas as a terrorist organization in Israel. Just absolutely bizarre. Let's do that right now. All right, this was in January of 1998. It aired nationally. He's the governor of Vermont, and the topic of Israel was being discussed on the air. And Hamas is a terrorist organization. They murder, they intentionally target men, women, and children to kill as many as they can so that they can manipulate political events. And there's a lot of people, especially liberals, who are confused and don't quite know what terrorism is. So why don't we just explain that for a minute? Let's say you lived on an island and there was just a handful of families on this island. And one guy was more powerful than your family, and he was really mistreating you. Maybe he had killed some people in your family. It was really bad. And so you wanted to get back at him and to stop him, but when you tried, you couldn't because he was too powerful. And so, and he began murdering some of your neighbors and some of your family members. Would it be just for you to use force to try to stop him and kill him? Yeah, it would. What if you tried to stop him and you threw a rock off a cliff and you killed him and one or two of his kids? Would that be just? Yeah, it would. Then what is terrorism? Right after this.
At Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection, combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.
Bob Inyart here with a live commercial break. Now, what does this sound like? Now, last night, you remember what this sounded like, right? That's a debate. 170-page debate with an atheist, Zaketh. Bob Inyart versus Zaketh. You got to read that. But what does this sound like? What is it? This is our brand new four-color catalog. Now, actually, it's an update of our current catalog, now in four colors. And we don't give these to anybody, just the special people. Actually, it's rather, it's quite a bit more expensive for us. We're a small-time ministry. Denver Bible Church was just planted a few years ago by a Bible church across town. Bob and Yurt Live is, you know, we air in Denver and on the internet at kgov.com. So we don't have a $1 million budget here. We run on a shoestring budget, but we now have a catalog in color. So the next time you request the catalog, you could ask for a color version. It's sort of like when CBS first introduced color TV and people got all excited. Well, here we have the Bob and Yurt Live color catalog. And in it, well, you just got to see it. You got to see it. It's so nice. You got to see Tony Funderburk in his CD. You get an idea of what he really looks like. It's good. You'll want one. one 800 8 NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. So then what is terrorism? If you're at war, say you're at war with the bad guys, let's say it's Adolf Hitler, and you're at war against the country, and you kill a lot of people who are civilians, is that immoral? No, not necessarily. It's not immoral. If you blow up Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun, his shacking up girlfriend or whatever, is in the car with him, and one of the kids, Hitler frequently had children around him at the Brown House, and he frequently had kids around him. Picture albums show him with kids and smiling constantly. Kids seem to like him a lot. It sure seems like it. At any rate, if you killed him and you killed Eva Braun and some of the kids that were with him, would that be murder? Would that be terrorism? No. It's sad that kids die in just wars, and they do. But if you're on this island with a handful of families and this one guy is becoming a murderer and robbing your land, robbing your food, killing some of your neighbors, killing some of your kids, and you're like families on a deserted island. And there's no government yet, and there's very few people. And so you have to try to defend yourself. So you see him, he's at the bottom of a cliff, and you roll a big boulder off, and it kills him and two of his kids. Are you a murderer? No, you're not. That was justified in self-defense. But here's what terrorism is. Let's say you find that he's too strong and you can't kill him. So you see two of his kids out in the field playing, a 5 and a 6-year-old, and you go out and you slit their throats and you kill them in order to try to manipulate him or move him to comply with what your demands are. That's terrorism. When you intentionally target children, not when children die as a sad consequence of a just battle. That's not terrorism. But when you intentionally target children and women and innocent civilians, when you murder people in order to intimidate and to obtain some kind of a political victory, that's terrorism. And so Hamas is a terrorist organization. Now, who agrees with that? Well, Howard Dean does. He said it in this quote on this PBS TV show. He said, this is in January 1998. And you could read about this. Let's see. Where is this article? Howard Dean. We'll find it before we get off the air here. Oh, NBC News. NBC News is reporting this. You could find an article on MSNBC.com right now. But here's what Howard Dean said about Hamas, all right? That if a Hamas took over the Palestinian Authority, right, they're a terrorist organization. And if Yasser Arafat is gone, if he dies or gets killed or whatever, he said, quote, I think Hamas will probably take over. There will probably be good and bad out of that. Now, how could it be good and bad? Like if Al-Qaeda, let's say Al-Qaeda took over Saudi Arabia. would you want the leader of a nation to say, well, that could be good and bad? Good and bad. When murderers take over a government, that's bad. It's bad. It's not good and bad. It's bad. So here's what he said. When Arafat is gone, he said, quote, I think Hamas will probably take over. That will probably be good and bad. The bad, of course, is that Hamas is a terrorist organization. That's what Howard Dean said. He's running for president now for the Democrats. He said, okay, there will probably be good and bad out of that. The bad, of course, is that Hamas is a terrorist organization. However, if they have to run a quasi-state, they may actually have to be more responsible and start negotiations. So that's the good. So if a terrorist organization takes over a government, well, that could be good because they might start negotiating. Obviously, it's the kind of thinking that passes in our society for reasonable or insightful or someone to be admired or to be a leader. But hey, if Al-Qaeda takes over Saudi Arabia, that's good because it might cause them to start negotiating. Maybe they'll become more reasonable. Maybe they'll be nice to us. It's just so ridiculous. Anyway, okay. All right, now on to economics. 40 years ago today, Lyndon B. Johnson, for the public school teachers tuning in, he was one of our presidents. He announced 40 years ago today that America was declaring war on poverty. And so I thought, now 40 years later, the war on poverty has been pretty much a colossal failure. And so I thought it would be worthwhile for us to talk it through and see what is that, the war on poverty? Well, liberals want the government to provide for people to make sure no one falls through the cracks so that there are no poor. That's the goal of that's one of the key goals of liberalism. And if you look at the causes of poverty, what are the causes of poverty? Well, there are a lot of different causes, but the real causes are never mentioned by liberals. These are the real fundamental causes of poverty. And let's look at those. And then liberals give others, which in fact are incorrect. But here's some of the real causes of poverty, and they're not prioritized. Here's just a list. Laziness. Would you say that's one of the causes of poverty? Laziness. Some people are lazy, and if you're lazy, you'll very possibly be poor, and it's better for the lazy to be poor than well off. Because if the lazy are well off, then more people will be lazy. And it's really hard to be fulfilled as a human being when you're fundamentally lazy. You got to overcome it. So a little bit of hunger, not liking being evicted 3 times in 2 years, these things are antidotes for laziness. So laziness is a major cause of poverty. Now, by the way, these things are never mentioned by liberals as causes of poverty. What else is a cause of poverty? Alcoholism. Alcoholism is a cause of poverty. Alcoholism, right? Does that make sense? Somebody's an alcoholic. They have a hard time keeping their job. And they look forward to getting drunk. And their life is messed up. And they're poor. All right, what else is a cause of poverty? Well, a crime epidemic. Crime epidemic. When there's a lot of crime in a community, businesses are very hesitant to open shop there. So you have huge swaths of inner cities for decades that were just despicable poverty, just a disaster. huge liberal social experiments that were utter failures, and there was so much crime, and so the crime produced the poverty. Liberals are very condescending toward people, and liberals say that the poverty produces the crime, which is exactly the opposite. The crime produces poverty. To say that poverty produces crime is to be insulting and demeaning toward poor people. In other words, the morals of poor people are lousy. Right? Poor people cannot stop from murdering, raping, kidnapping, assaulting. They can't keep themselves from breaking an entry, selling drugs, getting kids hooked on crack. Why? Because, well, they're poor. No, that's not true. Crime epidemics produce poverty, even on people who want to work and don't know how to get out of their circumstance. Drug abuse, which is, of course, the same thing as alcoholism, basically. Drug abuse produces poverty. Sexual immorality. Sexual immorality produces poverty. And now I know liberals can't even conceive of that concept. Can't even, it's not even on their radar screen. They don't even know how to think of that. What do you mean it produces poverty? When I hire a prostitute, I need a lot of money in my paycheck. So obviously it's good for the economy. I mean, liberals are so stupid. Sexual immorality is fundamentally destabilizing in a society, and it produces immorality. The most prosperous people demographically throughout history, take a long view of history and around the world, the most prosperous people are married people, families, generally. Now, of course, things could change in times and places, but a macro view of history in the world, marriage is one of the greatest builders of wealth, because women tend to civilize men and mature them, and they have to work hard and meet the responsibilities. Otherwise, the wife is going to hit them on the head with a frying pan. And they have to provide for their kids. And so marriage is the great antidote to poverty. Corporate America, when they're going to hire the CEO of an important subsidiary, they typically go after a married man. If they're going to hire a man, they want a married man, usually, the vast majority of cases. If they're going to hire a woman, they'll take a single woman. But for a man, they want a married man. All right, divorce. It goes without saying, right? Divorce is a major cause of poverty. Families lose easily at least tens of thousands of dollars when they get divorced, and more commonly, $100,000. Even hundreds of thousands of dollars are lost in a typical divorce. Well, tens of thousands to $100,000 is lost. What else? Theft produces poverty. Cowardice produces poverty. Lack of personal responsibility. These are things that produce poverty. Socialism produces poverty. Like welfare. Welfare, that was our war on poverty. Welfare, it's a disaster. Welfare destroys the self-respect of the millions of people who receive it. That's what welfare does. It destroys their self-respect, and it tells them that it just gives them the worst possible message from society. And kids grow up without ever eating a morsel of food that was purchased by the work of their fathers. Millions of kids have grown up that way. We'll be back after this. Bob Inyard here with a live commercial break. Howdy to those of you tuning in via kgov.com on the internet. Let's see, we did add, what did we do in this catalog? We updated one of our videos. We used to have the real Mount Sinai video, and that's been updated by the producers to a video titled Mountain of Fire, Search for the True Mount Sinai. And so we now have Mountain of Fire, DVD only, by the way. Most of our videos are VHS. We have one, Against Evolution, which is VHS or DVD. It's fabulous, called Unlocking the Mysteries of Life. Then this Mountain of Fire video, DVD only. This is Bob Enyart here with a live commercial break. And these videos that we've got are so much fun. They really will help you put arrows in your quiver so you can go to war ready for battle. In other words, they'll give you good arguments to use against atheists, unbelievers, homosexuals, pro-aborts, liberals, evolutionists. But this latest one, Mountain of Fire, now we've got about 20 videos we produced on our own and 4 that we've got from third parties. And this latest one is so good. I've got a friend in Las Vegas who's watched it now 4 times in the past 2 weeks, and he bought 3 more for his friends. Mountain of Fire is an update to the one we used to carry called the Real Mount Sinai. And this is modern-day explorers who've gotten into Saudi Arabia, legally and illegally, with video cameras, and have brought back to America a video survey of Mount Sinai, the mountain that Moses went to receive the Ten Commandments. And 1 million Jews camped around its base. You got to see this video. It is so extraordinary, the evidence that still remains for that Bible story. And call us. You can get it 800-8-ENYART or go to kgov.com. one 800 8 NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. So what are the true causes of poverty? Well, they're the things that liberals don't acknowledge, and they're obviously the causes of poverty, like laziness, alcoholism, a crime epidemic, drug abuse, sexual immorality, divorce, theft, cowardice, lack of personal responsibility, socialism, like welfare, right? Welfare is a cause of poverty. Yeah, it's a cause of poverty. How many guys, especially in the inner city, but it's everywhere, but I've talked to a number of people I've tried to help over the years, and some guy, you're trying to help some guy, his life's falling apart, and you find out he has 6 kids from 6 different women. How surprising is that? Well, it's not too surprising if you've been there in the inner city or you've tried to help people. We don't use that term much anymore, do we? The inner city. The projects. I remember when I was younger, back east in New Jersey, we'd go to Patterson and go to the projects and try to help kids who had the most despicable existence imaginable. And their dad, they'd see their dad once in a great while, and they had 3 or 4 half-brothers and sisters, and their dad had 4 kids from 4 different women, and their mother had 2 or 3 or 4 kids from 2 or 3 or 4 different dads. And how does all that happen? Why, how does that happen? It doesn't happen from conservative Christian traditional morals. That's not how that happens. I'll tell you how it happens. What, ask yourself this question, and even liberals have to ask this question. What is easier to live with for a woman? What is easier for a woman to live with, a man or a check? What's easier to live with, a man or a check? Check. A lot easier than living with a man. Living with a man is reasonably difficult. You have to civilize him to begin with. That's the job of a woman. You got to civilize the man and help him grow up so that he can be the father and the husband and the provider that he's supposed to be. So welfare comes along and says, you don't need to live with a man. We'll give you a check. when you don't live with a man, we'll give you a check so you can have your choice. You could struggle through the fights and the difficulties and the nag and all the problems of trying to be a wife to a guy who's still immature. Or you could forget him, don't even marry him, and live with a check. And so millions of women have said, well, it's easier to live with a check. So they're welfare moms. Millions of kids have been raised by welfare moms. And the guys like it because it's a legalized form of prostitution, right? In America, prostitution used to be against the law until Lyndon B. Johnson gave us the war on poverty. And so prostitution is when you pay a woman to have sex with you. And welfare is tax-funded prostitution, where the men have sex with the women and the government pays the women for it. So a woman will go through her young life up to 30 or 40 having sex with 10 different guys. And the guys don't have to pay her so that she can buy food or pay the rent or buy clothes, because the government pays her to put out sex for those guys. And that's how it works. That's how the welfare economy works. Welfare is prostitution, government style. That's where you, the taxpayer, get to pay the fee for the Johns. And what else produces poverty? Communism produces poverty, right? Communism produces poverty. In communism, it's hard to identify the poverty because everybody's poor. It's like you can't see the forest for the trees. Where's the forest? I can't see it. There's all these trees here. It's like Yogi Berra saying, oh, that restaurant, nobody ever goes there anymore. It's too crowded. You go to a communist country, where do you find the poor people? They're everywhere. In the Soviet Union for years, which is now broken up, and Putin apparently is reminiscing about the good old days in Moscow. But in the Soviet Union, the people had 100% employment. So everybody had a job, no unemployment. And that made America look bad because we had people who are unemployed and poor. So in the Soviet Union, everyone had a job, although millions of people went to work and did almost nothing. They went to work. They sat at their desk. They were there 8 hours a day. They drank vodka on their lunch. And they went home. And so Westerners would go through and say, well, so this is what you do, your job? What do you actually do here at this government bureau? Well, I don't actually do anything, really. But see, we have a saying here. We pretend to work, and the government pretends to pay us. And that's how they got rid of unemployment. So communism produces poverty. And what else? The two main producers of poverty, if we were going to prioritize them, are two I haven't mentioned yet, but they're inherent in these first ones. They're bad government and bad religion. Those two things produce poverty. Bad government and bad religion. If you have good government, the people will not be poor. And if you have good religion, the people will be tremendously prosperous. If you have those two things together, the world cannot even fathom what life would be like. We can't fathom it. Because in America, what's the tax rate in America? Let's ask some public school teacher. If they know, what's the average tax rate in America? What is the average tax rate? They won't even know what that means, hardly. What's that? Someone in our studio audience. Yeah, if like the overall tax rate, taking all taxation into account. What's the, huh? All right, that's a reasonable estimate. We have 45% there. The average tax rate in America is about 50%. And how do we know that? Because we know what the what the country produces every year, the gross national product. Oh, I thought that was the high school graduates. Well, that too. But the GNP, when most people use the term GNP, they're referring to the gross national product. Now, what percentage of high school graduates do not know what that means, GNP? And if you tell them what it means, gross national product, they can't figure it out anyway. They don't know what that means. Gross means something that's yucky. National is a bad thing, like nationalism as opposed to internationalism. And product is something you pick up at Best Buy. So something yucky against the UN and you can buy it at Best Buy. What is it? They don't know what you're talking about. Well, gross means the entire sum, the gross amount, like your gross paycheck. National is in throughout the country, product, what we produce. The GNP, the gross national product. What do we as a country produce all together? All the wealth that we produce as a nation. Add up everybody's income. What is it? Well, you take that figure and then compare it to what the government spends. And we know what the government spends generally and what the government spends locally in your city, your county, your state, and in the federal government. And you add up all those budgets and you find out that the government spends about half of what we produce. So if the government spends half of what we produce, or most likely now with Bush's latest prescription drug welfare program, it's got to be more now than half because that's about a $500 billion program in its first years. And that'll cost every American about $1,500 to pay for the prescription drug program to launch it. And at that rate, think of grandparents who say, wow, now we get to get our prescription drugs at a better price. Well, let's say the average grandparent in America has three kids and, say, seven grandkids. Three kids, seven grandkids, right? So for the grandparents, Poppy and Nonny or whatever, to get their low-cost prescription drugs, their three kids and seven grandkids have to pay the bill for through increased taxes. And since every American's share is $1,500, that means for grandma and grandpa to get cheaper prescription drugs, their kids and grandkids have to kick in $15,000 on top of the existing tax burden. So where do the grandkids come up with an extra $15,000? Oh, yeah, and grandma and grandpa didn't figure this out, but every single thing they buy, the prices will be higher because of the pressure of higher taxation. So every bottle of milk, every airplane ride, everything they do, it's bad government, bad religion, bad thinking leads to poverty. All right, Bob in here with a live commercial break here. Let's see how this goes. See if you could figure out by the sounds what these things are. What is this the sound of? And what is this the sound of? This here, a debate, 170-page with an atheist, Zaketh from Theology Online. And this here, our brand new four-color catalog. Now, if you ever call Bob and Yurt Live or email us at kgovlive@aol.com, kgovlive@aol.com, and you ask for a catalog, you have to specify the colored one because it's expensive. It's a lot of money, man. These 11 by 17 sheets of paper, color. But anyway, it looks nice, and you know, color is enticing, I'll tell you. It made me want to buy some of the stuff, and my office is filled with it all. I can't even fit any more of the stuff here. I just wanted to try out buying some. They look so nice. So when you ask for a catalog from BEL, Bob and Yurt Live, or if you go online to kgov.com and you want to get our catalog, ask for a color one. What we think we're going to do is, for the people who receive materials from us every month, what we'll do is every third month we'll include a color catalog in your package, whatever you receive from us, and the next 2 months black and white. So anyway, we're excited because, yeah, our little ministry is coming of age. We're actually putting Bible studies on MP3 CD-ROMs. How did that ever happen? And color catalogs. I tell you, ever since our we've got a new office manager here. He's this really great Jewish businessman from back east, Al Sharon. Now things are coming together. We'll be here's the show. See you later. NYART 1-800-836-9278 Some people say, Bob, how do you get away with saying some of the things you say on the air? There are only 7 people listening. You could say pretty much anything you want to say. It doesn't matter. Well, it does matter. Even if there's no one listening, you should only say what's true and honorable and just. But yeah, we could say whatever. It's just us. It's just a small, intimate fireside chat group. You and me and 5 other people. That's it. We're having fun. Okay, so what are the causes of poverty? Lyndon B. Johnson, he couldn't have given you the list if his life depended on it, as liberals today can't. It's laziness, alcoholism, crime epidemic, drug abuse, sexual immorality, divorce, theft, cowardice, lack of personal responsibility, socialism, welfare, communism, bad government, high taxes. Discourages people. They give up. High taxes, bad religion. These are the causes of poverty. Now, there are other causes, too. But when these things are not present, let's say you've got somebody who's disabled and they have lost the use of their hands. I've got a friend who was born without fingers. Because of a birth defect from, remember back in the, what was it, back in the 60s, the thalidomide babies? There was a drug on the market, thalidomide, and the children were born with terrible birth defects. And so my friend was born without half a leg and no fingers on either hand. And his parents refused to let him even think in terms of being disabled or depending on the government disability program or anything, welfare, Social Security, and they demanded of him that he take care of himself. And he did. And just a few years ago, he and his wife lived in a beautiful home, and they invited their parents to their mortgage-burning party. And the mortgage-burning party, now here's my friend, born with no fingers and half a leg. And his parents taught him never to depend on the government, welfare. You take care of yourself. And so he worked hard all his life. He's still a young guy. And he invited his parents to his home for a mortgage-burning party where he paid off his gorgeous home. And when they came to the party, they were shocked to find out he gave them a present at his party. And you know what the present was he gave to them? Their mortgage. He also paid off their mortgage. He paid off his parents' home and his own home in just a few years of working hard. And he used his hands. Every penny he made was with his hands. And he had no fingers. He writes books. He types on the keyboard about 40 words a minute, maybe faster, with little no fingers. And I meet guys who are, you know, they say they can't walk or whatever, or they used to be a truck driver and they got in an accident and they have a bad back and now they're have to be on, they have to be on, whatever. They start out with unemployment insurance and then they move to disability and then they get permanent disability and that's it. And they say, well, I can't do it. I was trained to be a truck driver and now I can't sit up. And now I've decided I'm going to be a bum for the rest of my life and let the government take care of me. Oh, the government has really helped you out, hasn't it? Wow, you have a wonderful future ahead of you. Just great. I couldn't be more happy for you or that I live in this country that helps a million people like you. All right, let's go to the phones. 1-800-836-9278 in Golden, Colorado. Alan, speak your mind.
Hello, Bob.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Yeah, thank you for the time on the phone tonight.
You're welcome.
Another great show. The reason for that I'm calling, I have a friend who's actually a lady.
Yeah.
Who she uses what I consider slang language.
All right.
In her when she verbalizes whatever she's talking about. In other words, she every now and then she uses a what I call a cuss word. Okay.
Oh, so when you said slang, really you mean profane?
Yeah, profane.
So she has a dirty mouth.
Well, yes.
Oh.
Okay, a little bit like that. And
right.
She excuses herself by saying that helps her release tension and so on. And I understand that to a certain point, but I don't really accept that to be...
No. I don't understand.
It's not in good character at all.
No, I don't understand it at all. You know, some guys say it relieves my stress when I punch my girlfriend in the mouth.
Well,
and
yeah.
So what, do we understand that? No, I don't understand it at all.
Right.
It's wrong. And
yeah.
So... So you were being kind when you said you have a friend who's a lady. It's hard to call her a lady if she has a filthy mouth. She might be a female.
Well, I'm only I'm newly introduced to her. She's a new friend of mine, and so I don't know a whole lot about what's going on with her. I told her that I spoke with her. In the last couple of days, and I've been trying to quote her certain scriptures in the Bible that are relative to whatever we're talking about.
Right.
And I know the Bible a lot better than she does, but at least she has a Bible, you know. I mean, and I told her that you're getting yourself in trouble when you do that. You're on Judgment Day, you're going to be held accountable for speaking like that.
Well, Alan, let me ask you a question. Is she a Christian?
Well, she claims to be a Christian, and as I mentioned, I'm only newly introduced to her
right.
as a friend, and so I can't vouch. I've only known her for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But I think she's a very special lady. I think she's a very nice lady. She's a hardworking person,
mm-hmm.
and she does claim to be a Christian.
Mm.
And I told her, I've quoted her certain scripture on other topics, but now she has asked me, and the reason for my call is to ask you, can you help me with any scripture? I heard
All right, let's do a little, but first we have to do a warning, Will Robinson, their Bible verse up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob in Your Life that you would like to censor anyone who dare quote the Bible in public, so this warning gives you fair notice, raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. All right, Alan.
Yes.
Paul is writing to Timothy.
In 2 Timothy 2:16.
Yeah, doesn't he talk about shunning the profane for they will increase to more ungodliness? You know, if you have a filthy mouth, then Jesus said what comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. So if you're sexually vulgar, a filthy mouth, that's showing your mouth is a window to your heart.
Right.
That's showing people what you are.
Now, what was the scripture exactly? Because I kind of interrupted you.
Well, that 2 Timothy 2:16.
Okay.
You had it.
Yes.
I should have called you for this information.
well, there's,
Okay, shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness.
Okay.
And then, of course, similarly, 1 Timothy 6:20, but I think maybe more interesting is, what is Hebrews 12:16 here? And the author of Hebrews is warning against fornicators and profane people.
And where is that in Hebrews?
Hebrews 12:16. But, okay, you know, profanity doesn't always mean the kind of profanity that we talk about today. While the Bible does condemn profanity, but profane originally means common. And so if you, let's say you were in the temple where God established certain rituals to look forward to Jesus Christ, and God said, now I only want the high priest to come into the Holy of Holies once a year.
Yes.
And then you were not a high priest and you walked in there, you would be profaning the temple. In other words, calling common that which God has called holy.
I understand.
So that's what profane originally meant, I think. And then the common and base elements of our physical existence, like base reproductive and excretory functions that are not discussed in polite company, they become the fillers of conversation of the crude and the vulgar. They're talked about, they're joked about constantly. So sitcoms and comedy, kids, Hollywood movies targeting teenage boys, they're filled with jokes about excrement and reproduction.
Okay.
And that's vulgar.
Yes.
It's base. It's lowly. And so that, you know, she could be a Christian and be very immature.
She is.
And unwise.
Yes.
She may be.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, worthwhile to find out more. A human being is eternally valuable.
Absolutely. I believe that we as Christians need to be reminded every now and then of certain things that we don't. I've been through this, and I know there's a lot of stuff in Psalms and Proverbs about you know, how we use our tongue.
Right.
And I think we just, as Christians, we kind of brush past that,
right,
and don't take it so seriously as it really is meant to be. It's
yeah,
meant very seriously.
You know how you never get caught with your kids hearing you say a vulgar word?
How is that?
Never say a vulgar
Absolutely.
Word.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's the only way. And
yes.
You know how you never get caught with the microphone on, thinking you're not on the air and saying something filthy or vulgar?
Turn the microphone off.
No, you never say something filthy or vulgar.
Like, well, that's very good, Bob.
Right, like the last campaign when George W. Bush was on the campaign trail and he used a dirty mouth about some reporter. And so if he didn't speak like that, it wouldn't have mattered. He said, oh, I didn't know the microphone was on. Well, that doesn't matter.
Yep.
So you talk one way in private and another way in public, but God is in public. And when you bless God, you use it with the same filthy mouth that you speak that way to others. It doesn't, it's incongruous.
Yes.
Public school teachers could look that up.
Well, thank you for all of that, Bob. And
God bless you, Alan.
Yeah.
There's our music.
Okay.
All right. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Appreciate that call. We're out of time. Where did the hour go? What is this? What is this? What does that sound like? This is Bob Inyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences. Right.